Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory and Ivory Coast Media Production.
Listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. It's February, and it is the month that Black history is celebrated. So what has getting in touch with our history as Black people of presumed African descent gained for us here in America in the 21st century? What has it done for Black families? How has it affected the perception of Black people around the world? It seems to me that when I see commentary on Black culture and social media, the aim appears to be to insult one group of Black folks for not being woke by another group of Black folks that are supposedly more woke than other folks. I think the bigger question for us to answer is not just where do we come from? Rather, it is where are we going now that we understand where we've been? Have we become more cohesive and united as a result of these studies of our history and these presentations that go on and on and on in February? It's not a knock, it's not a condescending statement. But I must say, it is somewhat disappointing to discover that we are not as united as I'd like to see us be as a people. I ask these questions because progress, significant progress, is self-evident. I don't pretend to know what's going on in every Black family, but I do recall a time when our solidarity was clear and family cohesiveness was paramount. However, it seems there was and is a continuing effort to keep us fragmented. Now, let me be clear. I believe Black culture should be acknowledged and celebrated. Let me repeat. I believe Black culture should be acknowledged and celebrated. I believe it's important to know family history as well as our contributions to the society in which we live. All that is well and good, but as a community, we have a crisis of leadership. There was a time we had specific leaders we would look to for guidance, but now it seems that when we have a crisis, there's not one or two voices we look to, as we used to look to Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. There are many thorny issues we need to address in our community, but too often, when you try to speak a needed truth, more often than not, people get offended, tune out, and therefore cannot appreciate the truth and or benefit from it. I believe we have a potentially fatal flaw as a collective body. Too often we manage life by crisis. We don't come together until there is trouble. For example, we marched and protested in the streets only after George Floyd was dead, but it was a mystery to none of us that the police were shooting at us like permits to hunt Black people had been reinstituted. Alas, it is too cold and I lack the stamina for deep thought and introspection. I don't always want to get on the microphone, but I made a commitment to do this, and so I will continue, because consistency is important. You make a commitment to something, you stick to it whether you feel like it or not. This is one of those feel-not-like-it days. I think the cold's just getting to me. I think the cold is getting to everybody here in America. Well, my friends, until next time, enjoy this presentation, because when this is done, then I'm going to roll the outro music, and that'll be it for this episode of The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. So I'll say to you now, you go out there and have a fantastic day on purpose. And I mean that. And you know I mean that. Stay warm. You know, this is just, I think the cold just has a way of just driving me nuts at times. There's no other way to say it. You know, I want to be in this kind of deep thought place, but I can't get there totally because it's just too friggin' cold. Yeah, I've got heat in my house, and God bless those that are without it, and may their heat come back on speedily so that they are not cold for long. But state of mind can be affected, and I am a human being, and today just isn't the day for me to give you a long conversation. So I'm going to go and I'm going to get me from 10 years ago to talk to you. And I hope that'll be fun for you. Hope that'll be enlightening for you. I'm rambling. I know. All right then, my friends. Until next time, be well. And ciao for now.
To do to go to church and you don't practice what is preached to you. And more importantly, what you preach to others. It's fun to stand up and preach to folks and tell them what they should do. But what about when it's your turn? What about when you're being watched? What about when it's your behavior that's on the line? What about when it's your behavior that is in question? Now, the theme today is giving our best, found in Leviticus 23 and 10. And we always want to give God our very best. But those are just words if you don't know how to give God your best. If you don't have an example of what is considered by God to be your best. Have you given the best that you can possibly give to God? Now, you don't have to raise your hands at this particular moment, but if you think quietly to yourself and you ask yourself, on this day, have you given God your best? What would be your answer back to yourself? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to nod. You don't have to squint. Because what happens is we believe that we're doing our best simply by word only. But what matters not is only our words, but our deeds. We want our children to make us proud, don't we? Amen. How many of you want your children to make you ashamed? Oh, I'm talking to everybody in the room, just in case you thought I was talking to the pews up here. I'm talking to everybody. I don't think there's a person on the face of the earth that wants their children to make them ashamed. Now, your children will not make you, the odds of them not making you ashamed increase greatly by the time that you spend with your children, instructing them in the admonition and fear of the Lord. Our children are a reflection of who we are in some respects. Not all, in other words, let me be clear, not everything your child does or children will do is a reflection of you. Not all of it. The reason it's not always true because your children have a free will. How many of you have found that a three-year-old has a will all of their own? How many of you know you don't have to teach kids how to lie? Did you do that? Nope, didn't do it. I didn't do it. Mickey did it. I ain't do it. And we'll say it with conviction. Did you do it? Oh, no. And we'll say it with conviction. No, mama, I didn't do it. Knowing good and well their hand was deep inside the cookie jar. Didn't know that there was a hidden camera watching every move that the child was making, but you asked them, did they do it? No. Are you messing with your brother? I am not messing with him. You know, kids, you touching me. Don't touch me. You touching me. You touching me. Don't touch me. Stop touching me. Stop touching me. Did you touch your brother? No, I didn't touch him. I just looked at him, and he thought I touched him. As a parent, I will demonstrate to my children what I mean by what I believe and what my faith is. I will not live a contradictory lifestyle. Meaning I won't tell my kids not to steal, and I'm constantly taking paper from the office for free. I got all kinds of pens stuffed in my pocket that I took from the office. They're not my pens, but my pocket is full of them. They got stacks of paper. They don't need all of this paper. Look at it, just stacks of white paper everywhere. I need some for my printer. I'm going to go ahead and take this paper. I earned this paper. It's my paper. See, it's the little stuff that you do. I ain't about to walk in no bank and stick it up, but I know there's been a time I took a folder or two that I shouldn't have taken. Get a phone call. You know your son is stealing stuff. What is he stealing? I told my son not to steal. You don't steal socks. You don't steal shoes. You don't steal pants. No, he's taking paper. Oh, paper, paper, paper. He's taking paper. Is it? Did you say paper? Now, is that 12 pound? Knew that paper came from somewhere. I got paper. My lifestyle, what I do on a daily basis, is the impetus of what I believe. As a man, if my mother told me, you don't hit on women, and I believe that that's wrong to do, I don't care what a woman does. She hits you with a sledgehammer. You can restrain her. She will be restrained. Make no doubt about that. I believe in restraints. But if my belief system says I don't hit women, when my wife gets on my last nerves, and every now and then she has done it, not too often, just every now and then. Every now and then, it ain't a regular thing. But every now and then, she'll say something to me that I do not want to hear. And she'll ask me the same question over and over and over in different ways, looking for a different answer. And my answer is always going to be the same. The answer is no. But she'll find a way to flip it and bake it and fry it and fricassee it and ask me the same. I said no, no. I don't want you to ask me like that. I don't want you to flip it, fry it. I don't want it asked to me. But sometimes when money is involved in the conversation, the heat level in the room rises. Now, whether you married or not, if you had a girlfriend or boyfriend, y'all start talking about the money, the heat will rise, especially if you're not talking about divvying it up right. Wait a minute, didn't you borrow $100 from me the other day? You gave that to me. I did not. Notice how clear the diction becomes. I did not at any time promise you $100 would not be returning to me at a particular date. Ain't nothing worse than getting your money back late. That's just a sidebar. All right. Matthew 6:33. The first key to being a successful young Christian believer, number one, is commit to practicing your faith. Commit to it. As I've been giving you in these examples, it's about what you do and not just what you say. Commit to it. Scripture says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this is what Jesus said. All of these what? Things will be added unto you. Now, some of us be trying to get the credit card to get us our things. I remember the first time I got a credit card. I thought that was free money. I mean, when you in your 20s, I couldn't even believe they gave me a credit card to begin with. Y'all gave this to me? All right, y'all. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Get that credit card and the bill comes. What is this? What is this? I didn't buy no nachos and oh yes I did. Oh that yeah. Did I buy Gators? Oh yeah, that's right. That was last year. All of this stuff that you're trying to get on credit as opposed to letting it follow and chase you. It's quiet in here, but I'm gonna say it a little slower. Because I don't want anybody to miss what I'm saying or to misinterpret what I'm saying, so I'm going to speak with diction and clarity. The stuff that you want will follow you if you follow the principles of the Word of God. Case closed. If I believe that, then I personally will not get involved in a lot of credit acquiring activities. Because chances are, if I can't buy it right now, I don't need it. Chances are. Now, obviously, there are things that you simply must have. But if you think about it, most of the stuff that fills people's houses that are complaining about being broke, they don't need. Cable. People don't have groceries in the house, but they're trying to keep cable on. Talking about, I got to have cable. What the children go watch? Let them watch you. What are we going to watch? Letting your kids dictate what happens in your household. The devil is a liar. Won't no kid ever dictate what happens in my household. Ever. Dictate. I could be broke, busted, and disgusted. They still won't dictate what happens in my house. But because I follow the principles of God, I never have to worry about being broke, busted, and disgusted. Because I believe it. Commit to practicing your faith. Now, one thing, and I'm watching my time, I'm watching it. One thing I want to say to the young folks, and I'm trying to see them somewhere, and I see them here, and there's a young folk right there. And I'm gonna just zero in on the young people right here and get laser-like focus so you can don't miss what I'm about to say. Don't focus on doing good. Focus on doing what is right. There's a difference between doing right and what is good. There are many times growing up, my mother would say to me, I want you to wash the dishes, an activity that I simply hated to do. I hated washing dishes. I would rather sweep the floor. I'd rather make my bed. I would rather vacuum clean than put my hands in the nasty dishwater. I just didn't want to do it. And so my mother said, well, by the time I get home, this better be complete. And so you come home from school, throw your bags down, sit down, watch about 3 hours of TV, cartoons, and carry on. Watching Hot Fudge back in the day. I'm giving my age, but I'm glad to be here just the same. Schoolhouse Rock, learning about bills and phrases and clauses, all the conjunction, junction. What's my function? I'm watching it all. I'm hooking up phrases and clauses. And my mother's words are in my mind, and I can hear her speaking to me saying, "You better have them dishes washed by the time I get home." Did I wash the dishes? Absolutely not. I swept the floor. I did my homework. I did everything but what she told me to do. So when she came home and I'm like, "Mother, look, I vacuumed and swept and made my bed, but the dishes are nasty." And now I got the nerve to get attitude. She don't see all that I did. I done swept, made my bed. At least I did that. At least. No, I didn't do what was right. What was right was what my mama told me to do. Not what I thought was good to do. It's a difference between doing right and doing good.
Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.